Hi, and welcome to our Learn to Meditate audio series. We want you to know that we are very honored that you are taking the time to listen to these classes. We know your time is precious, and we want to offer you our deepest gratitude and respect presenting these classes to you.
The Evolving Thought. To summarize some of the issues we have discussed over the course of the classes, we could begin by speaking of the way we are conditioned in our society to search externally for love, and learning. Happiness is space and time-bound. I will be happy when something happens. Love is outward. When I find someone, then I will begin to love. We even deal with trauma outwardly. I am feeling bad. Let's go shopping. Feeling sick. Put on the TV. Grieving. Do something. Go somewhere to forget about my grief. We are even taught to search for our sense of self outside of ourselves. Constructing who we are by the job we do, or the career aspirations we have, or the clothes we wear, or the people we associate with, or even where I might fit in my family tree. We ask the world to acknowledge and value us before we will acknowledge and value ourselves. How many people work so hard, 50, 70, 100 hours a week, so that they can have things that will make people say, "Wow, look at him, he has so many things." Our things do not and cannot define us, no matter how hard we try. If I wear Nikes and drive a Range Rover does not necessarily mean I am successful, nor if I ride a skateboard and dye my hair and go surfing mean I am cool. These are just things. Clarity is realizing that everything is for a reason. Red, white, brown, male, female, we are here with a fantastic gift. Everything is a gift. Thrive on whatever comes. Even if it's tragic, it is a lesson. And if it's magic, it's a lesson. They are all gifts. Nothing happens without a reason. From the moment we are born, the process of limiting us begins. We define freedom in terms of being free of some of the things that bind us, our wealth and material possessions, work, even the day-to-day family responsibilities. We hear frequencies from 20 to 20,000 kilohertz and call it sound. We see the spectrum between infrared and ultraviolet and call it light. We touch something with our fingers and we say it has been felt. We don't believe in reality beyond those ranges, and we are actively conditioned not to, but put plugs in our ears so we cannot hear and notice what happens. The other senses compensate. They become super senses, so powerful that we almost feel that we do not need the sense that we have lost. What if I were to tell you that you had another sense that you had invisibly kept? That by entering into this world with all its conditioning, it has forced you to close that sense? That for thousands of years, all the world's greatest philosophies had spoken of this sense as central to the fulfillment and meaning in our lives. All of our other senses have tried to compensate, but your heart is so central to your perception of freedom and love and peace and fulfillment that all of us are left feeling hollow and lost and as though there is something very basic that we do not understand. You cannot be a spiritual person by just having the intention. You have to have intention and live it. Do the practice and empower yourself to live the messages of our soul. Real unconditional love is realizing that every starving mother and starving child is your mother, your child. That anyone that hurts, that you hurt, that anything that is harmed, you are harmed. Real love is infinitely larger than romance. It speaks of the connection with the force that runs through us all. If your life doesn't feel like this, then you've got some wonderful things.
Hi, and welcome to our Learn to Meditate audio series. We want you to know that we are very honored that you are taking the time to listen to these classes. We know your time is precious, and we want to offer you our deepest gratitude and respect presenting these classes to you.
The evolving thought. To summarize some of the issues we have discussed over the course of the classes, we could begin by speaking of the way we are conditioned in our society to search externally for love and learning. Happiness is space and time bound. I will be happy when something happens. Love is outward. When I find someone, then I will begin to love. We even deal with trauma outwardly. I am feeling bad. Let's go shopping. Feeling sick. Put on the TV. Grieving. Do something. Go somewhere to forget about my grief. We are even taught to search for our sense of self outside of ourselves. Constructing who we are by the job we do, or the career aspirations we have, or the clothes we wear, or the people we associate with, or even where I might fit in my family tree. We ask the world to acknowledge and value us before we will acknowledge and value ourselves. How many people work so hard, 50, 70, 100 hours a week, so that they can have things that will make people say, "Wow, look at him, he has so many things." Our things do not and cannot define us, no matter how hard we try. If I wear Nikes and drive a Range Rover, does not necessarily mean I am successful, nor if I ride a skateboard and dye my hair and go surfing mean I am cool. These are just things. Clarity is realizing that everything is for a reason. Red, white, brown, male, female, we are here with a fantastic gift. Everything is a gift. Thrive on whatever comes. Even if it's tragic, it is a lesson. And if it's magic, it's a lesson. They are all gifts. Nothing happens without a reason. From the moment we are born, the process of limiting us begins. We define freedom in terms of being free of some of the things that bind us, our wealth and material possessions, work, even the day-to-day family responsibilities. We hear frequencies from 20 to 20,000 kilohertz and call it sound. We see the spectrum between infrared and ultraviolet and call it light. We touch something with our fingers and we say it has been felt. We don't believe in reality beyond those ranges, and we are actively conditioned not to, but put plugs in our ears so we cannot hear and notice what happens. The other senses compensate. They become super senses, so powerful that we almost feel that we do not need the sense that we have lost. What if I were to tell you that you had another sense that you had invisibly kept? That by entering into this world with all its conditioning, it has forced you to close that sense? That for thousands of years, all the world's greatest philosophies had spoken of this sense as central to the fulfillment and meaning in our lives. All of our other senses have tried to compensate, but your heart is so central to your perception of freedom and love and peace and fulfillment that all of us are left feeling hollow and lost, and as though there is something very basic that we do not understand. You cannot be a spiritual person by just having the intention. You have to have intention and live it. Do the practice and empower yourself to live the messages of our soul. Real unconditional love is realizing that every starving mother and starving child is your mother, your child. That anyone that hurts, that you hurt, that anything that is harmed, you are harmed. Real love is infinitely larger than romance. It speaks of the connection with the force that runs through us all. If your life doesn't feel like this, then you've got some wonderful things waiting for you. A wonderful, exciting journey ahead. Thoughts don't finish their journey until they become love. Do you remember our conversation about the force in class 3? We tried to explain the nature of the dark and light side of the force and how it affected state of mind. It was a simple way of explaining that thoughts are not all the same in the way that they affect state of mind. We alluded to the process of the light of the soul and how it inevitably illumines our consciousness. The conclusion of this was the realization that thoughts can range from the uncontrolled reactive rage of aggression, hate, and violence to the pure, blissful, ecstatic feelings of ever-expanding love. The out-of-control cacophony of thoughts versus the direct, peaceful, intuitive flow of the soul's light of wisdom and truth from within us. I would like you to imagine for a moment that thoughts are just like souls. They are also eternal. They are also daily confronted with the barrage of pressures from the external world. They also are looking for freedom. And every thought, leaves a fragrance, sometimes a stench, that shapes our state of mind that we view our world through. The journey for every thought is from gross physical or material desire to love in all its flavors, from romance to real wisdom or truth. The result of this idea that every thought is on a journey within us, just as if it were one of our own children. Every thought is born and must be nurtured and guided and developed until it becomes love. No longer a thought, but an intuitive experience. Our hateful thoughts need to be directed and lifted, not to be rejected, but to be loved and empowered. To reject our hate child, for example, is to stop truly looking at ourselves. The hate child still exists within us, but we refuse to look at it. It becomes an anchor that won't allow us to sail free of the lower states of mind forever. As we lift our consciousness, however, we find that the children thoughts that we give birth to are surrounded by more and more positive role models and empowering guides. Simply put, every thought we have stays in our consciousness, whether it be way back in the subconscious or more directly in the conscious mind. Every thought is a crucial foundation in the construction of our present state of mind. Getting our heads around this idea emphasizes the importance of simplicity and purity. The fewer thoughts we have, the more positively they are selected, the more mindful we are not to allow the birth of negative thoughts, the less we are weighted down by the responsibility of carrying a multitude of naughty children through to their final evolution. The upshot is that we reach a state where we do not think thoughts at all. We actually are able to directly intuit the truth and wisdom within each of us. So what to do? There are a number of important conclusions. First, we must accept all of our children, good or bad, and love them equally. Look yourself in the mirror and accept and love all the constructors of your present state of mind. Remember that love is the most powerful evolver of any wayward child. Second, just like a naughty child, sometimes it is necessary to firmly correct undisciplined behavior. So don't be afraid to gently but firmly offer love and guidance to aspects of your present state of mind. Thirdly, create an inspiring environment for your state of mind. Being considerate of the sorts of children you allow your thoughts to hang around with and the situations you place yourself in. Finally, remember that the consciousness you are evolving to is one of direct intuition, a place where your state of mind is constantly empowered by the infinite love, peace, and truth of the heaven within you. This consciousness you reach often in meditation. So practice it as often as you can, and more importantly, practice staying there. A true story. "Kill him!" the old lady sobbed hysterically. "Kill him!" The man pushed the young warrior to the ground and forced him toward the chief of the tribe. "Kill him! Kill him!" the mob yelled. The chief reached out to the old lady, his wife, and pulled her sobbing, grief-stricken eyes to his chest. The capturer of the young warrior, the chief's son, stepped forward. "Father, this is the warrior that has killed my brother. We must kill him." The crowd surrounding the scene grew more frantic. "Kill him!" they cried over and over. Drums were beating to the rhythm of their chants. The young warrior lay on the ground but was defiant, seemingly never giving up. The old chief stepped forward and the noise grew in anticipation. "Will killing him feed our children?" he whispered, his eyes steady. But few heard him, so he spoke again, this time directly to the loudest of the crowd. "Will killing him will return my boy to us?" The crowd became quieter. "Will killing him make the sunrise any sooner?" The daughter of the chief, a beautiful young girl, then ran to the warrior, the murderer of her brother, and pulling the knife from his hand, she yelled, "Father, this is the knife that killed your son. This is the blood of my brother, and this is the animal that has committed this crime. You are a coward if he is not killed right now." She raised the knife high above her head, ready to plunge it into the captive warrior. But the chief caught her hand easily in his powerful grip and held it there. He whispered even more quietly, "Will killing him save your brother?" And everything went quiet and still. Then there was a tiny squeak of a voice. "No," said the old lady. "No, it won't," she repeated. A murmur rolled around the crowd. "No," they repeated. The drums stopped and everyone listened as the old man pulled his wife and daughter and son to his chest. "This matter needs careful consideration. I would like to contemplate this overnight and explain my decision to you all at sunrise." The next day, the chief called the tribe and the captive warrior to him. He had considered the matter carefully, and had also discovered that the captive warrior's parents had long ago been killed. He spoke deliberately. "You see that teepee up there? That was my son's. Those horses, his as well. They are yours now. You will be my son. You will replace the son that you have killed." The warrior looked up, confused. The chief looked at him gently and smiled. The warrior's eyes filled with tears. Brown Bear went on to become a most devoted son, and actually saved the lives of both his new brother and the newborn child of his sister in other battles. The chief was wise. He did not want to carry the burden of hate with him, and his forgiveness freed him and his family from carrying that heavy baggage. He forgave not because he had to. It would have been far easier.
Hi, and welcome to our Learn to Meditate audio series. We want you to know that we are very honored that you are taking the time to listen to these classes. We know your time is precious, and we want to offer you our deepest gratitude and respect presenting these classes to you.
The Evolving Thought. To summarize some of the issues we have discussed over the course of the classes, we could begin by speaking of the way we are conditioned in our society to search externally for love, and learning. Happiness is space and time bound. I will be happy when something happens. Love is outward. When I find someone, then I will begin to love. We even deal with trauma outwardly. I am feeling bad. Let's go shopping. Feeling sick. Put on the TV. Grieving. Do something. Go somewhere to forget about my grief. We are even taught to search for our sense of self outside of ourselves. Constructing who we are by the job we do, or the career aspirations we have, or the clothes we wear, or the people we associate with, or even where I might fit in my family tree. We ask the world to acknowledge and value us before we will acknowledge and value ourselves. How many people work so hard, 50, 70, 100 hours a week, so that they can have things that will make people say, "Wow, look at him, he has so many things." Our things do not and cannot define us, no matter how hard we try. If I wear Nikes and drive a Range Rover, does not necessarily mean I am successful, nor if I ride a skateboard and dye my hair and go surfing mean I am cool. These are just things. Clarity is realizing that everything is for a reason. Red, white, brown,